You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and welcome along to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action from Kelso and Warwick on this edition. We've also got domestic racing from Market Raisin and two meetings from across the RSC at Limerick and Navan. So plenty to be getting stuck into on Sunday afternoon with Mark Walton, Lord John Budden and Craig Forsyth in the studio from 1:40pm. But ahead of all the action, joining myself, Sam Norris, on this edition of the podcast is the aforementioned Craig Forsyth to offer up his thoughts on Sunday. Hello, Craig.
Yes, hello, Sam. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. Thank you. Yourself?
Yes. Almost here, isn't it? It's only a couple of sleeps away.
Indeed.
As they say, so it's all exciting, isn't it? Well, it's taken a turn for the better as well. So it's all looking very promising.
Yeah, absolutely. I was Rory DeLaghi was in yesterday and we were having a conversation. He obviously lives very close to Cheltenham and he said they might even water on the Monday, given the forecast at the moment.
Yeah, well, you know, there was quite a bit of rain that fell during Wednesday of last week. And that only changed the ground to soft. And from there, it was due to be bright spells, and particularly this weekend, getting up to as high as 12, 13 degrees. And if you get that, it isn't going to take long to dry out. But I believe there's no plans to water, which is good. If there was going to throw some water down, I would imagine it would be on the new course ahead of Thursday and Friday's racing. So I would imagine Thursday, the ever predictable good to soft ground will come around once again. It's just magic how it happens year on year, good to soft on day one.
Yeah, it's amazing because over the last couple of weeks, we've been thinking, well, we're only 2 weeks away from the festival now. We're still getting heavy ground left, right and centre. Now, all of a sudden, a few days before, it'll be good to soft.
Yeah.
No issues there.
Yeah, they won't let us down. Don't worry about that, Sam. But hopefully, you know, it dries out from there as well as the weather is. It's a cracking forecast. So, yeah, really looking forward to it. And to be honest, over the last few weeks, it's getting a little bit more competitive than it was 2-3 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, some of the races have lost, you know, some of the quality, if you like, in terms of Fahin, who's sadly out injured. But Annie Power is now in the race. And, yeah, it's shaping up to be a lot more competitive than it was a few months ago, which is good for punters.
Yeah, absolutely is. We've got a lot of the handicap entrants right now as well, Craig. The championship races have pretty much got their shape. Where are you in your festival preparations? Must be getting pretty close to complete.
Yeah, I've obviously had a look at more of the graded races. You know, the JLT obviously was a race that I wanted to try and get stuck into at the early part of last week. You know, looking at it, the likes of Duvan and No More Heroes and more of that were all entered to run, and obviously they had different targets, the Arkell RSA, and I thought it was a race that would cut up badly. And at that stage, I thought Garde La Victoire was a standout, a horse that has won 3 times over fences. I don't think we've seen him anywhere near at his best so far in his 3 starts over fences. And I think he's open to a massive amount of improvement now he steps up to 2.5 miles. You know, his stamina has been key so far. He brushed aside Bristol Demai on his first chase start at Uttoxeter. That was an impressive performance. He then went to Chepstow, and again, you know, his stamina kicked in coming up the hill. And at Ludlow last time, he carried a double penalty, 11-10, and very bad ground, which he wouldn't have liked in, and he still got the job done. And it was his class that seen him through. He's a classy type. And I think, you know, he's the one horse that in that race, for me, that his form could go to another level with this extra half mile on better ground.
Okay, 5-1, Garde La Victoire is for the JLT. Has there been any other investments from yourself so far?
No, I've had a losing one. You know, I'm one of these people that can put my hands up and say I've already had a losing bet before the festival kicks off. I did back Winter Escape.
Oh, in the Supreme?
For the Supreme, yeah, before he won at Doncaster the second time around. But I think it's just come a little bit quick for him. Aintree's going to be his target. And hopefully the money that I lost and my auntie pose better at Cheltenham, we can get back at Aintree in a few weeks' time, because he's a horse that I rate highly. So, yeah, he's a loser. And the only other bet I have is Vanator, which I backed pre-season, but he's going to be, you know, face a mammoth task and try to turn over Duvan, who looks one of the bankers of the week. In terms of handicaps, haven't really, you know, delved in deep at this stage of proceedings.
I mean, there's still, I think the Martin Pipe's still got 150-odd horses entered into it, Craig.
I'll be waiting to see the final decks. You know, Katachenko could be quite interesting in the novice handicap chase, the final race of day one. He's currently 30th in the list, so he may not get a run. But Donald McCain in terrific form, and he's a horse that will stay a little bit further as well, which I think will be required in a race that should be run at a real sound gallop. So I thought he was a horse that interests me at this stage at a real big price. I think he's 25-1 at the moment with us, Sam. So, yeah, I certainly couldn't put anybody off him. But handicaps, we will wait till Monday to try and find a couple of winners there.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. You're right, Sir Kaschenko.
But I will be taking on Annie Power in the champion hurdle.
You will be?
Well. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I think she'll come up short in the champion hurdle.
Identity Thief camp, Nichols Canyon.
I think Identity Thief will run very well. Obviously, the ground again, you know, is going to play a part. But I thought of the runners at the prices. I thought I can see Hargam running a real big race, and you know, he was the one round about the 20 mark. I thought that that could run well each way.
Yeah, fair enough. And the new one, of course, has been given the big talk up this morning by Nigel Twiss and Davis. There's no negatives this time around, is the phrase he's used.
He's another one, you know, that I can see running a big race. When I had another look at the race this week, I ended up with a shortlist of three. Identity Thief, the new one, and Hargam.
Okay.
They were the three that were on my shortlist, and I was keen to take on Annie Power.
Okay, fair enough. Sunday's racing then is next on our agenda. We'll leave the festival there. No doubt we'll speak more about that probably before Tuesday, and then all through next week as well. But we're looking ahead to Kelso and Warwick on this edition. This is, of course, the rescheduled Kelso card. Where do we stand on the rescheduling of cards, Craig? It doesn't always seem to work, does it?
No, I think great idea. You know, you have to applaud Kelso and the BHA, first of all, for trying to replace the lost fixture, one of the premier fixtures of the year at Kelso. So, you know, we need to say, you know, well done to those. But the problem we've had, Sam, it's come on the back of a week where we've had Newcastle, Catrick, Carlisle and two meetings at Ayr. So away from the Premier Hurdle and the Premier Chase at Kelso on Sunday, the other races have cut up because there simply isn't enough runners to go round. And Ayr on Saturday, you know, was you look at the field sizes there. Again, this extra meeting at Kelso has had an effect. So I think for me, my own personal opinion, it may have been better to move the Premier Chase and the Premier Hurdle onto Ayr's card for Saturday.
Right.
And we may have got slightly more competitive racing. As it happens, these two races on Sunday have stood up very well, and they're actually stronger this time around than they were due to be last Saturday. So that's good. That's a positive. But it's the other races on the card that the fields have cut up slightly.
Yeah, correct. That's the way it is, though. And we start with Kelso's 220. We've got a novices limited handicap chase to kick us off here. 2 miles and a furlong is the trip facing these six runners in this Class 3 event. Again, as you mentioned, a pretty small and select field here, Craig.
Yeah, well, you know, quick decision ran over hurdles at Ayr on Friday. I don't think he'll be lining up. And Gold Opera won over fences at Ayr on Friday. So, you know, I think the field's definitely going to lose two again here, reducing it to four, which basically leaves this race as a match between Morning Royalty, a horse that usually travels really well in these races but doesn't always find a lot for pressure. He won fairly comfortable at Carlisle last time, getting the better of Dr. Maloney, a horse that finds even less off the bridle. Again, he loomed up large on Thursday in a race won by Gold Opera, but he eventually finished third. He just hasn't got that effort where it matters in a finish. And the other one to look closely at here is Superior Command. He could be interesting, Sam, because he's a horse that has only had three runs over hurdles after one start in a bumper, and the handicap has given him a mark of 107. And the quick here to miss out handicap hurdles and go straight for a novice handicap chase. And you look at the horse, he's got plenty of size and plenty of scope for jumping fences, and he could be very well handicapped. I think the step back in trip is also another positive, because you look back to that air race and he did travel well for a long way behind Lakeview Lad on that occasion. So coming back half a mile should also be in his favour. And of 10 stone 4, he's got a lovely racing weight here. I think he could turn over the likely favourite Morning Royalty. So 220 Kelso, it would be superior command and a first time hood for an informed Lucinda Russell.
OK, there we are then, Craig's pick in the 220. Let's get stuck in to the headline races then on Kelso's card on Sunday. This is the 255 that we begin with, the listed Premier Chase here. Eight runners line up for this 2 mile, 7 furlong contest. And the weight's headed, of course, by last year's Grand National hero, Many Clouds.
Yeah, you know, he's been unfortunate a little bit because he looked to have a slightly easier task in this race 7 or 8 days or so ago. But it was reopened when they rescheduled the meeting. And Philip Hobbs has entered Sausalito Sunrise, you know. He looked to have quite a few pounds in hand of his rivals last week, but Sausalito Sunrise is only £3, rated only £3 lower than Many Clouds and receives £4 here. So, you know, actually comes out best at the weights. And, you know, you had to be impressed with his performance at Ascot last time, carrying 11.10. He made mincemeat of his rivals. He jumped really well and he powered clear after the last. He was still pouring on at the line on that occasion. The handicapper did raise him £13, Sam, which, you know, at a mark of 163, kind of leaves him in no man's land, because he's, I would think, a little bit short of top class, and a mark of 163 is going to be hard to overcome in a handicap. So he was always going to be a hard horse to place, but, you know, this looks a really good opportunity for him to build on his Ascot performance, and I think he can get the better of the really likeable Many Clouds before, you know, Many Clouds, will he be 100% spot on here? That is the big question. This is his final prep run before he goes off to Aintree to defend his crown in the National. I just wonder what they'll leave to work on. You wouldn't want to see him having a really hard race and soft ground ahead of the National here. And I think that could leave the door open for Philip Hobbs' Sausalito Sunrise.
Okay, Sausalito Sunrise then the pick for Philip Hobbs and Richard Johnson. We go to Kelso's 330 now. This is a Premier Kelso hurdle, a Grade 2 novices hurdle. Six runners here for this 2.25 mile contest. Then it's attracted a good bunch of novices, Craig.
This is a really good race, so I'm really looking forward to this. Meet the legend. You know, I've seen this horse win on his race course debut in a bumper here at Kelso, trained by Keith Dalglish at that time. And owned by the lads from Straight Line Construction. There was plenty talk beforehand, you know, that this was a real promising type. And in the paddock, he certainly looked it, but he was very, very keen. He bolted away down to the start on that occasion under Craig Nicol. But he seen his race out really well, and he beat a nice horse of Malcolm Jefferson's called Dubai Angel. Then went on to air and bumped into a useful type in Fagan, lost nothing in defeat, and then went off to the sales and was sold to Highclere and racing for Dan Skelton. Really good run at Kempton on Boxing Day on his first start for a new yard. Again, slightly keen on his hurdles debut, and at Newbury last time. You know, if he would only relax, this horse is open to a huge amount of improvement. And returning to Kelso, he could be difficult to beat, but the key with him, particularly stepping up to 2 miles, 2 furlongs, is that he just switches off and he settles in the early part of the race. He's a really strong travelling type, and I think he'll run a big race. The one I think he has most to fear from is Lakeview Lad, trained by Nick Alexander, a horse that was very impressive at Wetherby last time when he carried a penalty to success. And you had to be very, very impressed with the way he sprinted clear after the last for both his wins over hurdles. He's a really exciting horse for the Alexander team. And I think he'll give Meet the Legend most to think about. Paul Nicol sends one up. La Prisienne lost nothing in defeat last time behind. It's a freebie. You know, it's a freebie. Kind of nicked that race from the front. And La Prisienne travelled up well but couldn't get by a real promising sort. You know, he's another one rated 140. It's just a really good race, this. But I do like Meet the Legend. And hopefully he settles and he can take all the beating here.
Meet the Legend it is then for the Skeltons in the Kelso 330. Let's go to Warwick now then for the final race on our podcast. This is their 340. A handicap chase here over 3 miles and 5 furlongs. It's a Class 3 event with 14 runners lining up here and a couple of last time out winners and a big field size to get stuck into.
Yeah, it's a competitive race, but Streets of Promise, a mare by Westerner, could still be ahead of the handicapper here, racing off under a £7 penalty for a facile success at Newcastle earlier in the week. you know, this mare jumped well, travelled well, could be called the winner at the halfway stage, and still looks attractively handicapped on a mark of 124. Rocky Bender, I thought, had a hard race just over a week ago. Never looked like winning until jumping over the last on that occasion and getting up to deny Leg Iron, who had done most of the front running on that occasion. Ballyrath obviously went off a short price favourite in that Huntington race, but crashed out really early. You know, I think he still remains reasonably well treated on a mark of a 122. Another one to mention is Graham McPherson's Red Admiral, a horse that should have won at Musselburgh two starts back when coming to grief at the final fence. Was slightly disappointing at Doncaster last time, but has been dropped 2 pounds in the weights. But under a penalty, 7 days on, or 5 days on rather, from his or her Newcastle success, Streets of Promise, definitely the one to take all the beating here on what looks a really attractive handicap mark of 124.
Okay, thank you very much. There we are, Craig Forsyth's thoughts ahead of the action on Sunday. And remember to tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. where you'll hear Craig alongside Mark Walton and John Budden for all of the action. Thanks for that, Craig. Hope you enjoy Sunday. And if I don't see you before, have a good festival.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.